Hello and welcome to Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon's KVSH 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Today I have Tina Shattuck with me in the studio, and we're going to be chatting about her passion, Women Hold the Key, and her new 2020 mentoring circle programs. Are you a woman looking to circle mentor with other women? Tina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So excited that you're here today.
Happy to be here. Very excited.
I've worked with you before, and I'm really excited to get your presence out to Vashon for people who don't know who you are and what you've been doing in the community for women here on Vashon. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I have lived on Vashon for 20 years, and I'm kind of, I feel like to some degree, I'm really positively, for me anyway, embedded in the community here. My sister and I started Cafe Luna in 2000.
Oh.
So, and it's a still an operating business.
And it is. I love Luna.
All men owned by women. So I started doing that. I have three kids who are 12, 14, and 17 in the school system on Vashon. What else? My husband is a fisherman in Alaska, so we don't get to see a lot of him. So I am solo mothering a lot, and I have a really fantastic, incredibly supportive, very grounded community that helps me on a daily basis because most of the time I don't know what I'm doing. right, as most of us. I've been really fortunate to work in a lot of different ways in the community. I was an eventer. I still do events just for myself now, but I did a whole bunch of event management at different places on Vashon. I worked with Maggie McClure and helped produce the Sheepdog Trials for 4 years.
Oh, great.
We grew it from, I think, 3,500 to 10,000 people. So that was a really fun.
That was amazing.
Yeah, really big thing. I've worked for VIP and done auctions all over the island in different ways for the Harbor School and the Rowing Club. And so I'm really fortunate to be able to know a lot of the community here. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be here. Yeah. Happy to be
That's
living in this place
awesome.
Right now. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
How wonderful to have you living here, too,
yeah.
with everything
oh,
that you've been
you.
Doing for the community
thank
over
you.
The years.
Yeah.
That's great. So start by telling us your inspiration for Women Hold the Key.
Well, I've been working around women with women for a good decade. I owned another business called Working Mothers Revolution and a sister nonprofit called Working Mothers Evolution with my business partner, Cindy Shear. And that started over 10 years ago. And it really was designed to help women who were in transition. Most often women who'd stepped out of the workforce with young kids who were trying to figure out who they were now and mm-hmm. how to go back and what to do. But I kind of parlayed those ideas into Women Hold the Key. And Women Hold the Key sort of was auspicious for me because it came at I kind of decided I had been thinking about it for years and just not ready to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then I turned 50 last September, not this past September, but mm-hmm. the September before. And it just so happened that in the morning of my birthday, they were having Christine Blasey Ford testify in the Supreme Court nomination hearing. Yeah. And so I got up and I started listening to it and I was hopeful. And then literally by noon, I was like, oh, I guess it doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything. And at that point, I sort of like, it was a culmination of what had happened politically, socially, that I had sort of been keeping my eye on. And I was just like, okay, I guess it's time. It's time to gather my group. It's time to gather my community. It's time to connect with the women that I know. And I think it's time to build community because if we're going to change this world, I think it's going to be done by youth and by women.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of spurned me like, okay, so how do we connect? How do we all get connected? And it's a really old idea that there's an amulet, a visual identifier that religions have, mm-hmm. tons of organizations have,
yes.
that you could just see somebody and be like, oh, you're part of my people. Okay, good. So it was just a way for women to connect with each other with the idea that hopefully, globally, women can connect. And it's just a symbol of the way that we need to or should be or want to be connected in a community, mm-hmm. And especially communities of women and young girls. Yeah.
Right.
So that was kind of how it started. And I just thought, okay, why wait? Just let's just go. And when I launched it unofficially in December of last year, I really didn't know what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I needed to do it.
That's
and
great.
I was open to having the universe tell me where it's supposed to go.
So are the two crossing over at all, Women Hold the Key and Working Women's Revolution? Because that's where I first met you.
Yeah.
Working Women's Revolution.
I'm going to use all of the workshop, the workshops that we developed. And there's a series of workshops. There are individual workshops. I'm going to pick and choose those out as they fit best into the Women Hold the Key and the Circle Mentoring Program. So, yes, there will be a crossover of curriculum mm-hmm. and facilitation and learning. So for sure, I just my business partner, Cindy, and I are kind of splitting the two businesses, and she's going to take the corporate side
okay.
and work with corporations to try to help them support the mothers that work for them, which is
fantastic.
Really great.
Yeah.
And it's very challenging.
Yes.
Because a lot of times people, corporations don't, they pay lip service to caring about families and mothers, but they don't actually care. So it's an uphill battle mm-hmm. that she has sort of like the smarts to be able to win. And mine is really going to stay on the nonprofit side. So I want to be able to have available these workshops to really anybody who wants to create community and use them, and to really help women figure out who they are, what their value system is, how it's changed, what their real needs are, what the conflict is in their life, what are barriers, how to get around them, you know, how to use it in their lives, in both their work and in their personal life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I will be using it. It's just not going to be called that anymore for me.
God, that sounds great. I know that's something I can use in my life, and a lot of women on Vashon probably.
I think women in general, right?
Yes.
Like when you're in transition, when you're in big transition, which kind of feels like we're always in transition, mm-hmm. but especially big stuff, kids being born, kids going to school, kids leaving, mm-hmm. a change in family structure, women who are menopause. I mean, like just life changes.
Yes.
That sort of throw us all for a loop. And I think, as a general rule, for most of us who've been parenting full time, it was easy for us to lose a sense of who we are. And then there's this whole process of trying to figure out who you are now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Based on all these new things, the fact that you are raising children, what the world is, what your place in it is, who you're supposed to be, maybe in as a different way than maybe you did 15 years ago. And maybe 15 or 20 years ago, you thought, well, who do people want me to be? And maybe we get to reframe it and say, well, it's not about who you want me to be. It's who I'm supposed to be. And trying
Beautiful.
To work into that. So
that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And you have the symbol. You
I
have
do.
A key.
I do.
So tell us about that.
So I reached out to a designer on the island, Kat McCadden from Grayscale. And I didn't know her. I had seen her at, I don't know, like a open house or something. And I just loved her stuff because it was all based on the sea. And I wanted symbolism in my keys. These keys in general, the idea is based on keys that were found in the graves of Viking women. So
cool.
They don't know for sure what they actually symbolize, but they surmise that it's that their partners, the men were off. They were Vikings, right?
Uh-huh.
They were off doing probably terrible things, you know, exploring, pillaging,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yep.
But women were really the ones who were there. They were the power centers. They were, you know, the leaders of their community, and they kind of held space for their whole village. And that women really are powerful, and they were signified by, like, you know, the keys to the castle, the
yes.
keys to the house, or whatever that is. And so they were, it's loosely based on that actual design, but I wanted sort of the elements in it, the directions, the seasons, you know, all that stuff. I wanted it to symbolize our global connection, that women, that we're connected. We really are. Like, you know, there
yes.
are less than 7 degrees of separation between mm-hmm. any of us at any point in time. So I really wanted to use those as symbols. And then I had this one made, and it's really big and really heavy. And I recognized fairly soon that not all women could actually wear it. And it didn't make sense. Like, but I wanted to have something that everybody could wear. And so I thought of this idea of the Trinity, or the trilogy of sort of women sit, and they sit in these three phases of life, the maiden, the mother, and the matriarch. And
yes.
how could I symbolize those with different keys, But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You can want a key or have a key in any key, and it doesn't have to be attached to where you are in your life. It just really is personal preference and actually price point, because they wanted it to be affordable. So the little keys are $21. So people can afford them. And I give all my money, well, I give most of my money away to organizations that support women and girls. So I pick one or two or three organizations yearly,
right?
And I give proceeds to them.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it's really what are some of these organizations that you work
with? So the 2019-2020 organizations are, I pick a local, so I want to stay embedded in my community, mm-hmm. and I also want to take a look at what my larger sort of regional community is and what's a global community. And I've been lucky to be able to pick like all sort of Pacific Northwest centered organizations. So Dove is my local Vashon organization.
Wonderful.
Girls Inc. is a of the Pacific Northwest is the like Oregon, Washington chapter head for the Pacific Northwest, but Girls Inc. is a national organization.
Okay. And what is Girls Inc.?
It's a nonprofit that seeks to go into schools and in particular, maybe less funded schools in communities that have less resources, and give women, young girls, opportunities to be leaders. So it's sort of holding on and holding up the young women who are in our world.
Yes.
And then my global organization is called World Pulse, and it just so happens to be headquartered in Portland. And it is a global online storytelling place where women from all over the world can log on, tell their stories, get connected, and hopefully rise together.
Wow.
Yeah. So you get to
pick. That's a beautiful concept, that organization.
Yeah, it's really great. So those are my three for 2019 and 2020.
Nice.
And 2019 is a new year for me because I just started. So my hope is that 2020, I'll be able to do a lot more, give a lot more money away. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Did I answer that question?
I think you did.
I'm just sort of a tangent girl.
No, that's great.
It's hard for me to stand
there. Elaborate. It's a beautiful thing. Cool. So let's see. What question? Which direction do I want to go? So your start. So you've been doing this for a year. What sorts of workshops and get-togethers have you been doing throughout the year?
So I try to do one keyholder community, Vashon-based community get-together a month, where any woman can come or any girl can come and just sort of be in community with each other. And in those keyholder community meetings, I do sort of, if we can manage it, a little tiny piece of learning, like here's a little nugget that you can go away with and think about. And it's all interpersonal. It's all social and emotional based.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a circle up where we ask women, who you are, who are you? What do you have? What do you have to give? And what do you need? So that we can just sort of all get to know each other in a deeper way, if that's what people are looking for. So that's what we do in the keyholder community meetings. I also added on a daytime one because lots of people are just too tired or too overstretched to do evening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little summer event at my house, which was really fun. And that was the one that you came to.
Yes, that was a great experience. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you came. It was, I had an opportunity to have a corporate women's coach who lives on the East Coast, who is this young, dynamic woman who is a friend of a really good friend of mine that I've had for 25 years. And she was here doing a book tour,
mm-hmm.
and she was just going to come to a community meeting. And I said, well, why don't we just do one around you in the summertime? And so I put together, just for 40 women, it was pretty small and really intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to get up and talk a little bit, and we did an exercise together. And then I had, I think there were five individual women, and you were one of them, mm-hmm. who did these little breakout sessions, and they were all different, and they were all based on what it is that you do and each person does. So you get to have these breakout sessions that we had food and we had stuff to drink, and it was a beautiful day outside. And then we had a fire,
mm-hmm.
And we did a circle around the fire. And my friend Shauna, who has a new book that just came out, read an excerpt from it.
Bravo, Shauna.
Yeah. And it wasn't out at the time. So we get to get a little sneak peek about what it was.
Oh, she read a great section too. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. She's awesome.
I'm excited for her.
Yeah.
You know, that she's recorded it.
She's got some great stuff, you know, in line for her.
Brewing.
Yeah. So, so I will in 2020, hopefully add on to that with my Circle Mentoring programs. I'd love to do a Women in Business on Vashon Circle program mentor or, you know, sort of community program where we can support each other as women in business.
Yeah, networking is so important here on the island.
It is. Well, it's important to just about everything. I think that's how the world works, good or bad. And it's a challenge for me. So all of this really is stepping way outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to be doing
How so?
I just don't really like getting up in front of people and talking.
Oh, God, me either.
And it's, you know, obviously this is incredibly important, personal for me. So it's about like, you know, like cracking your chest open and say, here it is. Mm-hmm. And then just sort of letting go of what people who don't understand it might potentially think of it. Mm. And I haven't had anybody say, well, that's stupid. But there are lots of people who are like, I don't understand what you're doing.
What part don't they understand?
I think that they don't get that what I'm trying to do is build community and doing it specifically for women and girls through this visual amulet where we can all recognize each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really not very hard. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are lots of people who don't sit in community. Like, I always say that nobody's an island, but there are a lot of people who actually think that they are. And maybe that works for them, and that's good. So, again, right, as you do anything that's meaningful and personal, it does not appeal to everybody. And you have to get used to maybe not being liked or, you know, having people judge what you do. And then that's so personal for me because this is sort of like my heart cracking open. Yeah. So these are all things that do sit way outside my comfort zone. You know, I'm a manager of projects and things, and I'm not ever the person who's sort of in front. I'm usually on the side, and that's been a very comfortable place for me to be. And
you do a fantastic job.
Oh,
the
thank
event
you.
That I went to, it was phenomenal.
Oh,
you
thank
did a
you.
Great job and
oh,
really hosted
so
a beautiful
that.
Group of women. And the
it
speaker
was
amazing.
Wasn't she great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great event.
Yeah. So it's really like.
And you seemed very comfortable up in front of the 40
women.
So
that's a misnomer, right? And back here underneath, I'm like, I think I'm going to throw up. So, but it's a requirement, right? Mm-hmm. Of me trying to get this piece of community building out. I can't be silent about it and hope it just builds itself because it requires work. And part of that work is talking about it.
Yeah. Through empowering other women, you're empowering yourself.
Yes.
It's lovely.
Absolutely. Right. We all do things. We choose things in our lives based on sort of what we're supposed to be learning.
Yeah.
Right. What our lessons are. And, you know, I grew up, my mother died when I was a couple weeks old. And so I didn't have that sort of maybe nurturing piece of me. Mm-hmm. And one way to step out of how I grew up was to become a parent and to relearn what it means to be a nurturing parent. But I think I'm always looking for community. Mm-hmm. Community must mean.
And you are nurturing who you have around you also.
I'm trying.
That is, you
I'm
are.
Trying. So part of my goal was that I always in my brain thought about all these people I loved, in particular women, like, I wonder how she's doing. Hope she's okay. And then like stopping right there and like going on with my business.
Right.
And like never making that extra effort to be like, hey, are you okay? Or do you need anything? Or I'm just thinking about you. And part of Women Hold the Key was my reminder that it matters that you reach out. You can't just think about it in your head. Really, you have to go that extra step. And we're busy.
Yeah.
Our lives are crazy. But it's important.
I found in my life for myself, you know, when I hit the 40s, that was really a game changer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really started reaching out and investing more and realizing where maybe I had sheltered myself or been too independent or something like that.
Right.
So is that something that you can help women with on the island?
I hope so.
In general, like empowering them to come out and you don't have to do this all on your own and, you know, build your community and who's there for you to support you.
Yeah. And what does it look like for you? Because for everybody, it's different. Right.
Right.
And really think one of the big sort of cornerstones of what I believe is that we have to model for our girls what it's like to be in community and what it's like to have positive, personal, intimate relationships with other women, right?
Yeah.
Because they think that I have a 12-year-old and it's becoming difficult, right? It gets complicated. It's
complicated,
not as easy. And I know that my three kids feign not listening to anything that I ever tell them. Yeah, whatever. You old lady. But if I can model it, then that might be stronger. I don't have to say it, but I can do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. I know a lot of young girls who don't have community, and I think that we are facing epidemics of loneliness and isolation because we're all connected through a phone or through social media or through the internet, but we just don't have deep, meaningful interpersonal connections, you know, with groups or one-on-one. So I think that we're forgetting how to do it. Right. Young people are forget or they don't know.
It makes it immediate. Like the information is there and you can send a text to somebody super quick, but there's not that bonding community.
But you don't get to look into somebody's face.
Yeah. Holding space for somebody, listening.
And so you also don't know what's behind what they're saying.
Yeah,
right.
There's that too.
Yeah. So it's about being intentional and illustrating that, that community is really everything. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever leaves this world and thinks, man, if I just had a couple more cars, right?
Right.
They're all sort of at the end of your life. The things that are most important are your connections with other people and how you've served the world, right? Mm-hmm. Service is another big component. Like we've all sort of spent, I'm you know, in my 50s, so I've spent a lot of time thinking about, well, me. Mm-hmm. Like what do I get out of this and what's in it for me? And so I've shifted, and that might be just sort of a magical thing. Although I think lots and lots of young people are like,
I think it's reaching the younger generations now and not waiting until late 40s, 50s to step into this service role, which I think should be part of life, our whole life.
It should.
You know, it's really about being there for each other.
It absolutely is. I grew up in the 80s and that was not the service model. The model was
how can
I get more? How can I have more? And how does it reflect? The more I have makes me more important or better or, you know, and we know now. And lots of people knew then that is an empty model.
Yeah.
But so I just really feel like community is kind of all we have. So, yeah.
So you brought up your daughter and she's 12. So did she spurn the idea of this maiden mother and matriarch idea for this new mentoring program that you're going to be launching in 2020?
I don't know if she directly spurned it, but of course I think about it. I think about... I actually think maybe it was more directly an indication of what I didn't have. I didn't have a mother I was close to. I had a stepmom who tried her best to be a good stepmom and fell short in my eyes often. So I didn't feel like I had that.
Role.
It is a very difficult role. I had a grandmother until I was 18 and I was really close to her and I lost her. And then I felt sort of unmoored and adrift. I didn't have older people in my life who I could connect with. And as I am a mother moving from a mother phase into a matriarch phase, I recognize that there's still so much that I want to have community to share with and to explore and to question and to, you know, get feedback from.
Nice.
And I just think that model really is symbolic. You know, it used to be, it's called being a crone in a lot of cultures.
Yes.
And I chose matriarch because it feels like it's more coming from a position of power. Mm-hmm. And it might be just sort of what we've done.
The energy is way different than crone.
We've done that to that word crone.
Yeah.
That crone word is really powerful, but the associations with it are negative from what I could see in the world. So I changed it to matriarch because we are matriarch. I mean, we do come from a position of power. And I really just wanted to update that model. You know, there's a lot of women's groups. There's a lot of women who mentor younger women in the professional world. There are lots of different women to women. But I wanted to really kind of get this dynamic of three. And circle mentoring means that there's no hierarchy. So it's not a triangle where a matriarch sits on the top and she kind of tells us her wisdom.
Right.
It's really about how do we learn from each other? How do we support each other? how do we create community that is deep, embedded, and lasting? So it's nice. Not going to be a program that's designed for, like, the program itself might go be 6 months because I'm going to do a couple different pilot projects. But it's my hope is that people will create, you know, really long lasting relationship mm-hmm. and help each other as they move from one place to another. I mean, how great would it have been for me to have a mother who gave me the real.
Yeah.
Right. When I was thinking about maybe having a family, about what it actually meant, because I got lots of, you know, flowers and lavender, but mm-hmm. I don't know that I got the real. I might not have done it if I got the real. But anyway, and then, you know, like, where are the places where matriarchs can really give wisdom and have people hear it? Because older women, myself included, are invisible. I am invisible, and definitely women who are in their 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, you know, and I don't say that as a specific, but is a generalization, is that women feel invisible.
Yes.
I mean, I know I do a lot, because our culture is really based on youth and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have those
women
things,
start to feel irrelevant.
Yeah, you feel irrelevant. So it's really important to me to have this three where we can really kind of know each other. I also think that I don't have a pulse on what young women actually think and feel right now, other than from my social media and the news. So I really want to know from real young women.
I think that's a beautiful aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're growing up in this oh so different time.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, right? What could they tell us about what they're experiencing? And right. then they could be seeing the world a new perspective.
Absolutely.
So they can share that with us and kind of, it's kind of like when you listen to music and all of a sudden the new music, you're not kind of jiving with it anymore.
Right.
And then it brings you kind of up to speed, you know, and you're not stuck in the past.
Yeah.
You're kind of moving forward.
Yeah. I think it's really
momentum.
Important. Yeah. That we have sort of that well-rounded community experience, and by doing it just in a set of three, it feels like it might be actually manageable, right?
Yeah.
That I could, as a mom, say, well, I'm going to check in with my two ladies this week and just sort of see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get together once a month and we're going to do some learning together. We're going to, you know, quarterly, maybe do a workshop with all the women who are in these programs.
Nice.
We're going to build, you know, what is it? Macro, micro, right? Uh-huh. We're going to stay macro and we're going to just sort of like try to hold on to this three. And then we're going to get a little bit bigger.
Nice.
And we all have this sort of baseline of experience, learning and knowledge that we can all connect in these ways. Mm-hmm. That's my hope.
It's really cool. I really see, like, today, unfortunately, our family system is kind mm-hmm. of breaking down.
Yep.
So we don't have the elders, you know, to teach the younger people or even help us, you know, that are
right.
the parents that are
right.
trying to parent and just winging it.
Right.
You know, mostly
throwing
we can
stuff
read
at a
bunch
wall.
Of books,
yeah.
but everybody's different,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
And so to have that group, you mm-hmm. know, that variety of people where we can
right.
all meet, we're creating that family structure together and supporting each other. I
yeah.
think that's got a beautiful concept.
It is.
That's
I
great.
Think. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
you're welcome.
Know, it doesn't really necessarily, like, I use that maiden, mother, matriarch
mm-hmm.
Idea fairly loosely. It doesn't mean that you have to be 20 years old to be a maiden. It doesn't mean that you have to be a mother to be in the mothering, you know.
Right.
You could be actively caretaking for whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a state of mind.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a 60-year-old to be a matriarch. I know 40-year-olds who are matriarchs. Like, yes, you were powerful
mm-hmm.
and you've done some stuff and you've had life experiences and you just embody that. So it really doesn't awesome. Have to do with having to fit into these little tiny, you know, narrow categories of what we assume a maiden, a mother, and a matriarch. It's really about a state of mind and a state of experience and sort of where you are in your life. And we all get to travel through those.
Yes.
Whether we have children or not, we do travel through those three phases.
Definitely.
Right? So, yeah. So it's about the general experience of women, which mm-hmm. men don't do in the same way.
Right.
They just don't. Mm-hmm. So, and men don't do, they don't do community building in the same way. It's just as vital and just as important. It's
yes,
just different.
It is just different.
And, you know, we have some
okay.
really amazing community building men on the island with the Journeymen program.
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sisterhood program, which is sort of the sister to that for younger women.
Yeah, that's wonderful that they started that
yeah,
this year.
So incredible.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how far they've come along.
Yeah, they're really amazing. Mm-hmm. Great, great group of women who are wanting to really hold young women and
yes.
create community. So I'm sort of like tagging on the back end of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to be working with them?
I hope so. I met with them a couple of weeks ago. And I'm pretty sure that we can figure out a way to sort of like, you know, move that continuum. Just keep swinging that pendulum all the way through.
What do they call it on Wednesday? I work with a woman whose daughter is in it on Wednesdays.
It's at school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the morning.
Yeah.
I can't remember
what it's called, but you could
darn it. It's such a catchy little name. It's awesome. Look for it if you have a young daughter. It's a wonderful program.
And
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of looking for people, so how do people find you?
So I'm online at Women Hold the Key. And I have not updated my website yet about the mentoring programs because I'm still trying to figure them out. And I'm, asking for people to help me. Like, what does a mentoring program look like? What does this mentoring program look like? How is it different? What are the things that people want to get out of it? How do we create deep community? So I'm still trying to figure out what those things look like. In January, I'm going to be at your event, and I have a couple more events where I'll talk a little bit more about what that might look like, what the framework is, and try to be really conscious of the fact that people are very busy, and that if you don't ask so much that they feel like they could actually do it, mm-hmm. that then the opportunities to be more successful are there. So I'll have much more information, and I'll probably do a little questionnaire that you can fill out, and it will help put you know, hook you up with the three.
Yeah.
Right? What are you? What are you looking for? What are your value systems? What do you want to learn? You know, what time do you have? That kind of stuff. And then my hope is to create these, you know, little pockets of threes all over where then we can, on a quarterly basis, on Vashon at least, get together and do some learning together. And we can know each other in a better, in a deeper way. So I'll have hopefully all that information out beginning or middle of January.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, Women Hold the Key, I have some really, really amazing women who have just graciously volunteered to give me their time and effort and energy. And then I have to sort of coalesce it all.
That's beautiful.
Which is sometimes not my strong point. Oh, details. Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to do it. I don't know what the details are.
This coming from the events coordinator. I don't believe it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do that because I have to, but right, sometimes it's a challenge for me. So in middle of January, you'll have a much better idea of a fleshed out piece. I'm also hopefully talking to the senior center and the high school to do a senior to senior program. So seniors in high school and seniors at the senior center, because young women who are getting ready to graduate need community service hours.
Yeah.
So they have a requirement they have to meet. And women at the senior center have to some degree, a little bit more time to give.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can do some cross senior learning.
Great idea.
Which is like just connecting, you know, those two sets, right? On opposite.
Senior to senior, that's a
catchy term. So I'm working on that. And my hope is really to do pilot projects in 2020 and really get a really great sense of what people want.
Right.
I'm not here to give you what I think you should have. I'm here to try to figure out what's most meaningful. How do people connect? How do they figure out what they're, you know, like who they are,
mm-hmm.
who they're supposed to be? What are their gifts and wounds? You know, like what are all those important things? And then hopefully be able to send it out to the world and have anybody who wants to do it anywhere. So scalability is another big thing that I'm going to be looking at.
Okay.
How do I make it scalable and fairly simple and actually doable?
Right.
So that anybody who wants to can have. And, you know, I thought of these programs as not connected by familial community.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did not think of a daughter, mother, and grandmother, but maybe that's what it is too. And it's a way to know your family on a different level or deeper level, or to know them,
lovely.
You know, like beyond all the baggage and the relationships that we already know about each other, but to know them in a different way. I do find that a lot of older women or a lot of older people have done amazing things that nobody ever knows about.
Yes.
They have so much wisdom to give. Like nobody cares and nobody knows about it. Mm-hmm. So, but boy, you know, they probably had it harder in a much different way than we ever did,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, So I hope that I can do all this programming one of the exercises I'm going to do tonight at the Keyholder Community Meeting after the Women's Marketplace is sort of talk about a word for 2020 and to try to embody it. And I picked my word a couple months ago, and it's my word is capacity for 2020.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's a great word.
I have to keep going back to that. What is my capacity?
So why did you pick that word?
I think it came to me because I'm a really great idea spinner, and then the drill down to making things what they need to be. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and then I just am like, I'm on to the next idea. So it's my way of being intentional about how to build community and this business, whatever it is what do I have the capacity for? What is my capacity? I also am able to look at it when I have interactions with other people, and especially conflict. What is their capacity to understand where I'm coming from? Or what is their capacity to deal with whatever the situation is? And it allows me to be more compassionate with myself and hopefully with people that I'm in conflict with.
Right.
So I use it like 4 or 5 times a day when I'm dealing with my children. I'm like, oh, wait a second. They don't have the capacity to really get what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't act like they should know it, right? Or just sort of all those places.
Wow.
That it's important for me to understand both where I'm coming from and then hopefully understand where other people are coming from.
God, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that word.
Thank you. I do too. It's
yeah,
a good word.
You're welcome.
So, but I think everybody has this idea, and it's, you know, it's just a little tiny thing. Like if you pick a word and you can remember it and remember to drop in, especially when things are tough, maybe it's compassion, you know, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. It can just kind of help remind you of sort of what your intention might have been. And if you can do that, geez, 3 times over a year, I call it a success, right? I mean, I do it daily. Capacity, Dina, capacity, capacity, capacity.
That's a great habit. Any other tips, tools, or habits you have that you've learned along this journey?
Oh, my goodness. I think compassion is one that I'm working really hard on. And compassion starts with the self, right? You can't outwardly embody compassion and be compassionate unless you have it for yourself. And as a full-time parent, I think that probably there's nobody, right? We're all like this. There's nobody harder on me than I am about how I'm not doing it right, or how I'm not good enough, or how I'm not smart enough, or how I'm, you know, messing up my kids, or, but to sort of like be compassionate, have compassion for yourself. And then this sort of idea of letting go of the idea of who I think other people think I'm supposed to be, or who the world has told me I'm supposed to be. And trying to be just who I am, right?
Yes.
Like, these are all these really great things that come to us. Well, to me as an older person,
if I had
figured that out when I was 20, dang.
I know, right? But I was thinking about that the other day. If I had all these back then, I don't know, would we listen? You know, because
maybe
we still
not.
Have to go through the lessons in order to learn.
You're right.
You know, and even I think it would make the journey easier, you know, knowing all these things, having Brené Brown's book on hand and all of these other great mentors that we have in our world today.
But
we still have to live through the lessons.
That's
we still
true.
Have to go through it.
Because we don't learn
to the other side. Yeah.
We don't learn if we don't actually fail. Right.
Yes.
A lot of people, we don't really learn from success. We learn from failure. So, yeah. You're right. I probably wouldn't have. And then on the other hand, my life may have looked completely different.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
I may not have chosen 75% of the things
I
chose.
I think it would have if I had a lot of the, you know, information that I have today.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the stuff that we can give to our daughters and they can make choices about what their lives look like that are independent of what society tells them or what their family structure tells them or what they think they're supposed to be. And they can really just sort of sit in who they are.
Yeah. The girls today get to grow up in a whole different world.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a hard world, right?
But it's so much more open.
It is.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so much more.
It's just different, right?
Yeah, it is. It's different. I think it's always hard.
It is always hard.
Yeah.
And it's always good. I mean, this is what it's about, this journey, right? It's not about whatever the end destination is. Doesn't really matter because we're not here for it.
No.
It's really about how we choose to show up every day and be here and learn and be in community with each other. It's important.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So what do you want to do for these women that show up, like tonight, you know, for the Women Hold the Key meeting?
Well, I think it comes down to something incredibly simple. And again, you know, I'm not a business major. I have worked for most of my life, but I don't know that I have a big plan other than I think people in general and women in particular need to have spaces and places where they can be seen and heard. And I think it's enough just to be able to be seen for who you are and have your voice matter. And it doesn't actually even matter what you say because it's internal. And so I'm trying to create a space where people can feel safe, be seen, be heard, and know that they matter. That's really all it is. Nice. It's really nothing. There's nothing more to it than that. What I found is that depending on who you are and what's happening, that there are women who come to keyholder meetings who've never seen each other before. I mean, you'd think in this tiny community, we at least know everybody, right? Or we'd see them and be like, I've seen your face before. Mm-hmm. But literally, there are probably thousands of people on Vashon that I'm like, yep. Do you live here? Really? Because mm-hmm. I've never seen you before.
Same.
So I've had women who've seen each other or been in a circle together and not known who each other was, but then had the opportunity to meet up again, you know, in the granny's aisle and be able to have this instant deep connection. I have a friend of mine who was at a keyholder meeting who met two or three women she didn't know, or she had seen them before, but she didn't know who they were. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to, like, you know, be on the same aisle, and they immediately dropped into something deep and meaningful, and they stood in granny's for 20 minutes and had this deep conversation. And I'm like, when that stuff can happen mm-hmm. and you can go away and feel like somebody's seen you and heard you, that's all I need. Yeah. That's all it's about. Yeah. So, So that's what I hope. I mean, I hope for a lot of things. I hope that women can really build a connected, deep community that sort of stays with them. I have I'm just so lucky. I have known women for 20 years who I'm still in relationship with.
Nice.
But not everybody gets to do that. And if that's something that you want, I think it's important that you work to build those. And this is just a container. It's just a container to help you. And I just hope at some point that there are other women in other communities who are like, I need a container. And I am ready, or I'm looking for community. And this is a great way to build it.
You are definitely a connector, for sure. Who is your ideal woman to have around in the groups?
Oh, God. Oh, I have no idea. I really love this idea that we all come from very different experiences and backgrounds, but there's this like invisible thread that connects us all. And I think it's women's ability, especially in community, to empathize with what other people are saying or have been through. You know, we talk about collective intelligence mm-hmm. and emotional intelligence.
Yep.
And women as a general rule, have it in spades. And when you get groups of women together, collective intelligence just sort of it like bumps itself way up there in ways that it doesn't often happen when there are groups of men in circle. And I don't mean that in a very any specific way, but sort of generally the science and the data tells us that when you add women to a mix of men, collective intelligence rises, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's a group of
broadening
women,
that perspective.
Yeah. And I think that women just have opportunities because we've been raised that way to be more emotionally intelligent. So it's sort of just taking those things that we already are and building on them.
Nice.
You know, and so that woman is all of them, right? We don't have to have the same, you know, values or needs in order to have this through line of empathy, compassion, and connection. And the people that are attracted to that oftentimes have similar value systems.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it just happens that way, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got Women Hold the Key,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your new mentoring program
coming
up.
Yeah.
Maiden, mother, matriarch. Yeah. Great. So they're going to cross.
They will.
And what are their differences? Like of these two guys.
Well, I think they're actually morphing into the same thing.
Morphing into the same. Okay.
Yeah. And it will probably eventually at some point over the course of this year be all sort of one thing.
Nice.
And it will be women hold the key. Because that's symbolic, and women do hold the key. We hold the key to...
And that title says so much.
It does, I think. Yeah. When I was trying to think about it, I thought, women are the future. The future is female. Women are key. Well, we are all those things, but we actually have the power to hold it, right? For whatever. And not all of us at all points in our lives have that power, but to unlock and lock, right? We have that... We have the power to be able to do that. And I think women hold the key to really changing our world, women and young people. Mm-hmm. Because we've lived in a pretty patriarchal society for a long time. And it's really kind of almost at the point where it's degraded to such a point that we might have to rebuild, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think we are rebuilding.
I think we are. Yeah. And that's sort of part of that idea. So I think at some point... Women Hold the Key will be all-encompassing, and it will be keys. And you don't have to be be part of a community to have a key. You don't have to be interested in keyholder community meetings. You don't have to be interested in mentoring programs. It is very simplest form, a way for you as an individual to reach out to the people who are important to you, to the women who are important to you, and recognize them and say, we may not see each other, or maybe we do, but you are part of what's important to me. Yeah. And this is a symbol of our connection together.
And it's a movement.
Yes, I hope so. I don't know. I mean, I have almost 500 out and they're global. They're all over the world.
Wonderful.
I'm just really lucky to have a lot of really amazing, strong women that I work with that have like global connections to everything. So
wonderful.
I mean, they're on every continent, which is really cool.
That is cool.
I love it. I love it.
I bet.
I hope someday every woman could have one. And we know that we're all connected.
Do you have a fun story based on how you came up with that name, Women Hold the Key?
I knew that it was a key.
Come through.
Yeah, I knew it was a key, right? Because I was like, what's the symbol? What's the symbol? Well, it's a key. And I knew it was around women.
Yeah.
But I actually I tried it out with a whole bunch of different women. And one of them was like, Women Hold the Key. Like, I see a key passing from me to you in our hands. And that is the kind of movement that it will be. It won't be that all of a sudden 2 million women want keys. It will be me telling you or me giving you a key, or me buying a key for myself and then giving one to my daughter and to the people that are important to me as a symbol of our connection. Really, that's it. And it will grow slowly, and I have to I am open to whatever it's supposed to be. And I don't know what it's supposed to be, and maybe it won't be anything.
What is your hope for it to be?
My hope is that any women all over the world have keys just as the symbol. I think about it in times of duress. I think about a young woman being on the subway alone and being afraid and being able to look across, on some subway and see another woman with a key, and our eyes meet and we have this connection and nothing has to be said. But I know that if something went wrong, you've got my back, or, I know that you and I are connected and I've never seen you before in my life. Mm-hmm. So that is my hope, I think, on just sort of like the big global level, that when we know that we are connected, we behave as if we are, right? So it's like that symbol creates behavior. If I am having a really terrible day and I'm in a bad mood and the whole world knows it, right? Which we all do. Mm-hmm. If I sat next to somebody I didn't know and I had a key on, it would immediately change sort of maybe my perspective. And I maybe wouldn't be mean to that person, right? Or like maybe my bad mood wouldn't spill out to the people next to me. Maybe I'd be like, oh, but we're sisters, I'm going to be my higher self today, or I'm going to choose differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that's what I think I hope in general. But I don't really know. I'm just open.
Right.
Maybe the world will tell me what it's supposed to be.
What do you have planned for 2020?
Well, I have a senior, so I have a lot of personal stuff happening.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I have somebody who's getting ready to graduate. Just really building Women Hold the Key and trying to do maybe events around it, maybe
okay.
bigger things where we can all, I have this vision of, you know, a whole bunch of women somewhere in a field around a huge bonfire. So it's like my women's answer to Burning Man.
Yes.
But not really. I mean, it's not Burning Man, you know. But that we can do some sort of celebratory thing in community. Again, community for women. That's some sort of, I love fire. I like burning stuff. Mm-hmm. something around that,
it
maybe.
It is the center of most ceremonies.
Yes, it is, right? Yeah.
It's a beautiful symbolism.
Yeah. And then also, you know, I don't have a lot of ceremony in my life because I'm not religious, so I didn't grow up with ceremony. Mm-hmm. And ceremony is really magical and mystical to me. And I think we could all use a little bit more magic and mystic.
Yes.
Mysticism. I think that ceremony is sort of this important thing, especially for people who didn't grow up around it or people who have ceremony embedded in their the familial structure that they have that maybe they've rejected. That sort of ceremony is not part of who I am anymore and I need to create something that's different. And it doesn't have anything to do with religion or anything like that.
Right.
It's very, you know, it's non any of those things, mm-hmm. but just really around connection and community.
And again, tell our listening audience, like, when you meet.
It's changing. We meet twice a month on Vashon for the Vashon Community Keyholder groups. And if anybody who's anywhere else wants to create a keyholder group, I can set them up with all of the parameters and all the things that we do and how to do it and come and help you start one. But for Vashon, it's once a month during the day and once a month in the evening. And it has been Thursdays, but I think I might change it to Wednesdays. And so pick Wednesdays. And I haven't quite figured that. And as soon as I do, I will post it on my social media and on the website.
Okay.
But once a month, once during the day and once in the evening.
And your social media, can you go through that?
Yeah, it's all Women Hold the Key.
Oh, so, all Women Hold the Key.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter,
nice.
Women Hold the Key.
That's
easy.
Great.
Easy. Yeah, and again, my website is womenholdthekey.com.
Okay.
So you can get keys there. You can send them out to other people there. Yeah. And some of the things that I'm doing in January, I'll have keys. And I also wanted to say that it's not necessary to have a key. You can be part of a community without having a symbol.
Okay.
You can. It doesn't matter. Right? Because
right.
it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
Symbols are important to me in connection. Visual connection is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not important to everybody. So I recognize that. It doesn't have anything to do. Like, that's not part of it. It's really the idea that you want to be in community.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
It is a clever idea, though, even though it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And you do start to recognize people who, you know, have been to the meetings or mm-hmm. been to the groups.
Mm-hmm.
But to see it,
yeah.
you know, there's a woman that I work with that wears hers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely to see. It's like, oh, you know, it's part of something bigger.
Yeah.
You know, it says something about her as her values and, you know, what she wants to give back to community and what she wants to share, you know, for herself and with her community. So I think it's really, you know, a beautiful symbol.
Did I just unplug something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just stepped away from the mic.
Yes, you did. Do you have any fun stories that you can share with our audience?
I wanted to read the poem, the information, let's see if I have it, that comes with your key when
get
please. It. Because it's sort of about what I hope this could be for everybody. And I have to put my glasses on because I'm old and I can't see. So your key.
We're not old. Just saying, like, I'm turning 50 in
couple
weeks.
I know. I don't know why I keep calling myself old. I'm not. So your key opens. It gives access. It provides fellowship and community. It seeks to only be visible to women and girls. And I want to qualify that it's not just visible for women and girls, but really it's just a community for women and girls. So it really doesn't have anything to do with men. And I have a husband and two brothers, so men are very important to me. And this sits outside of that. It is endowed with our collective power, wisdom, protection, and support. As you accept and wear the key, you open to your true self. You could commit to supporting women inside and outside of your community, seeking inclusion and equality for all. You open to being called upon to help when where you are gifted. You agree to show up, take a side, take a stand. You become more holy yourself. And as such, you help every woman open to their own power. So really, like, when you get this, there are a little set of sort of codes that, you know, you need to be aware of. And yeah. If that's not something that you want to do, then a key is probably not the right symbol for you. But if it is, then it also can be incredibly powerful because you're giving people permission to be wholly, powerfully themselves.
Wow.
Which I think is really important.
Oh, that is.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And I have your key in my bag here. So I have a key for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Purchase list. I appreciate the gift. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I think it's important for us to reach out and really recognize the people who are important, who do important things in the world, in our community, and for us personally, right? It's important to build community.
It is.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You asked a question.
Yes. Do you have a fun story that you can share about, you know, from one of your meetings, or a heartfelt story in our last 3 minutes?
Oh, I have one woman in particular who has a really, like, she has a personal, huge problem with being in community, because she doesn't want to be seen, but she gets so much from it. It's important to her. And she calls me or texts me just about a day before every meeting and says, I'm going to try to come, but I don't know if I can do it. And so she has been able to come to a couple of them, and it's really like way outside of her own, because she knows we do the circle share thing. It's
right.
Like, oh, somebody's going to be looking at me and somebody's going to ask. And you don't have to. You can be like, pass. Mm-hmm. I'm good. But she recognizes that that's sort of like a place of fear for her, and she's been able to sort of step into it. And at the same time, the ideas behind it are so meaningful that she has sent keys all over the world. So that's her way of reaching out, is to all these women who she's known or knows or has connections to, just to say, you and I are connected. And maybe the circle and the community piece is something that she's not quite ready to do yet. But I would encourage her, and I'd encourage anybody to take the opportunity to step into something scary in 2020. It's hard,
yes,
right?
It
but
is.
It's really
be bold.
Be
Get
bold.
Out there.
Yeah.
This is the year to
just
do
pick
it
one
too.
Little thing, and then it doesn't. Yeah. You know, it just, it's personal, right? Maybe mm-hmm. nobody even has to know about it. It's just something that you can commit to stepping into this year or next year for 2020 for yourself. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Because it's worth it, right?
Yes.
Right.
It is. It's very worth it.
I mean, it's like panic inducing when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But at the end of the day, that's the only places we grow, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You really get a sense of, I did it. I got out there. You know?
And I didn't die.
Yes.
And the world didn't crumble. And, you know, the earth didn't leave me. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the next time is just a little bit easier.
Yeah. Or this too is endurable. Yes. I can do this. Yeah. Yeah.
Endurable. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tina, it's been a pleasure to have
you
on the show. Thank you so much for joining
me
today.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me. Yeah,
and one more time, go ahead, your email and everything for everybody.
Tina at womanholdthekey and womenholdthekey.com is my website. And you can always email me and say, hey, I have a question, or I don't understand this, or you're not being clear, or this is what I'd like to do. I'm always looking for partnerships in community with women. And I will do just about anything anybody wants. If you want me to come in and teach, I'll come in and teach a group of women about anything. But anything that I know about, which is sort of like, you know, social emotional stuff.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
Part of our community.
Thank you. I appreciate
and being
it.
On the show.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Liz.
And
it.
Definitely sign up for her email list so you can know when those meetings are happening. And thank you everyone for joining me today. This is Liz Peterson on Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon's 101.9 FM. Have a great day, everyone. And remember to get out there and raise the vibe.
Great.